We pray that you will be blessed and empowered by listening to this recording from Patricia King Ministries. Before you begin listening, please remember that this recording is copyrighted and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. Thanks again for connecting with Patricia King Ministries. The Lord loves you, and so do we.
And I want us to stand this morning and welcome Jacqueline Isaac to the pulpit.
Brutalized by the terror group ISIS, how a local group is trying to help victims now. And tonight, we get a new and vivid description of the atrocities these militants do. Good evening, everyone. I'm Mark Mullen.
And I'm Mari Payton, in for Catherine Garcia. A young girl says she will die trying to free her sister. Her sister is in ISIS captivity, sold to the sex trade.
It is just one of many stories being told in a new video produced by a San Diego humanitarian organization. New tonight, NBC7's Rory Devine spoke to one of the organizers who just returned from Iraq.
Fascinating conversation, I have to say, Mark and Mari. Of course, we all know about the brutality of ISIS. We've heard about it. We've seen it on TV. But this organization says its video is not about the darkness. It's about the light, giving voice to the voiceless.
The video tells the stories of young girls who escaped or were rescued from ISIS captivity. Horrible stories of sex slavery, stories hard to imagine.
ISIS says any girl over the age of 5 would go into the sex trade. They had enough. They considered anyone under 5 too young. I mean, imagine that. 5 is old enough. That's their crazy, insane mentality.
Jacqueline Isaac listened and documented those stories. Along with the humanitarian group Roads of Success, she has made 3 trips to Iraq, 2 relief missions, the latest, a mission to empower the girls to speak out, let the world know.
She said she wants to bring awareness of what has happened.
When you get to the point where you can share what you've gone through, you become a voice to the voiceless. And automatically you bring awareness. And that's exactly what these girls are doing.
So these, her two sisters are still in the hands of ISIS now.
But some 4,000 girls and children are still being raped, abused, and tortured at the hands of ISIS, according to Isaac. The 450 girls who made it out, she says, are the light in the midst of darkness.
ISIS couldn't break them. See, ISIS tries to make so many stories about the destruction and the devastation. But these girls, they remind us that terror will never win. Terror will never win.
The organization is working with the Kurdistan Regional Government, which is helping those fleeing from ISIS. The organization will make its 4th trip to Iraqi Kurdistan, bringing blankets, toys, and clothing, along with doctors and counselors. If you would like to help, log on to our website at NBC7.com and search Roads of Success. Fascinating, fascinating conversation. She had a lot to say.
Yes.
Heartbreaking.
Good work. Thanks very much.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that there is light in darkness. Since then, we've taken 8 trips to Iraq. My mother, who is sitting in the front row, just came back from Aleppo, Syria, where she spent time with Christians that have been persecuted. See, in the midst of darkness, when the news is sharing about the hurt and the sadness and the problems, we, as the body of Christ, must take our stand, understand our position, and know that we carry the solution. The solution is within us. The solution is the light of Jesus Christ. And we carry that light. We carry it in the darkest places of the world. Patricia, thank you for allowing us together to focus on that light. We all have a calling. We were all born for a purpose. And sometimes we may be disheartened because of the darkness we see around us, and maybe because of the darkness that the enemy has deceived us into believing can limit us as individuals. But it's time to take our stand and to say no to the darkness. To say no more. Darkness shall not control our lives, because we are not of the world. We are not of the world. And we have the authority to stand and break through that darkness. We have the authority in us. When the news says that this is the greatest crisis of the world, our answer is we have the greatest solution to the world. This is our time to say no more to the pain. No more. We are not a helpless creation. We are not a helpless creation. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you, Father, to release your anointing on everyone here right now, Lord God. To release your anointing on my mouth and on this stage and on this house, Lord God. We are called. We have an anointing upon our lives. We are not to listen to the lies of the enemy that says, you can't. You are not strong enough. The darkness is too dark. The enemy's too great. We can be killed. None of that is to control our lives. See, we are overcomers. We are overcomers. I was sitting in San Diego, California, as a lawyer, working one day in my office. And years ago, we had started a humanitarian organization that focuses on bringing a platform to those who have been oppressed. And we had gone to Egypt and to Lebanon, and we had worked in Jordan to help Syrian refugees. But one day the Holy Spirit, clearly with a loud voice, told me, now it's time to go to the front lines. I said, Lord, if you want me to go to the front lines, I'm ready, but confirm it in my spirit and allow my parents to say, okay. You can imagine, going to the front lines is a scary thing for a mom and dad. But the Lord had been already speaking to my mother and father. And in dreams, the Lord had told my mother years ago that she was going to Iraq and that she was taking her daughter with her. So when I was ready to give her the news, she said, I already know, and I'm coming with you, and you're coming with me, and we're doing this. But now, we had to tell the news to my father. And my father, a Holy Spirit man, filled man, got on his knees and asked the Lord. And he said, Lord, these are the most precious things to me, Lord God. They are the most precious people in my life, Lord. Is it your will? And in a loud voice, the Holy Spirit said, yes, I've led them to go. Men and women working together, overcoming fear, because we hear the Spirit say go when everyone else says no. And we took our first trip to Iraq when the Sinjar Mountain, if everyone remembers the scene, it was on the news. There was a time when ISIS had come, invaded into towns all across Iraq, and a group of people called the Yazidi people had fled up to a mountain and got stuck. And they were trapped on that mountain because ISIS was surrounding it. Many starved to death and died. Many didn't make it up to the mountain at all. On their way up, they were captured by ISIS. Girls were taken, and they watched their fathers and their brothers killed in front of their own eyes. And if that wasn't enough, they were then put into sex trafficking. And just as the beautiful women today shared that beautiful dance, I want to tell you that's exactly what those girls went through. They were trapped in chains. They were raped. The darkness is so dark. But in the midst of what they were going through, in the midst of that bondage, God was speaking to those girls. He was speaking to them. And he was sharing his light with them. One of them tried to kill herself twice. Once by cutting herself because the pain was too great. And her captor found her cutting herself, and as she was almost bleeding to death, he took her to the hospital and she survived. The second time, she tried to take a full bottle of pills to kill herself. These were drugs that were given by the ISIS captors to sedate the girls. And she tried to kill herself again. But he noticed that the bottle was empty. And he rescued her because he wanted to endure, to allow that torment to go longer for her. She wanted to die so bad. So badly she wanted to die. But every time she tried to die, the Lord would allow her to live a little longer. And on that third attempt, she heard that little voice inside. It said, "See, you tried to take your life, but what you don't realize is you're alive for a purpose. You're alive for a reason. You're alive to be a voice." And that young girl survived, and she escaped captivity. So on that first trip I took to Iraq, going to the front lines, I was meeting with women literally on the front lines fighting for us, for the whole world, fighting to get rid of this terror. I met 70-year-old women taking up arms to protect their people. I met teenagers as young as 18, that were on the front lines, ready to protect their sisters. Mothers that left their jobs to take the front lines, not just to protect their children, but to protect our children. And they were speaking to me about their mission to rescue the girls that were in captivity. See, the women on the front lines were focusing on how to save those that were oppressed. And I want to challenge you that you're on the front lines. And there are women and men around you that may be in prison cells. How do you get them out? How do you get them out? When the world is crying for mercy, how do we show acts of mercy? You go on the front lines by overcoming your fears. You go on the front lines by saying yes when God says go. You take those front lines and you leave everything else behind. And you say, God, your will, your way. I put my desires, I put my safety at times, I put my comfort zone to the side. And I do what you will of me. 200 meters away from ISIS, I could see them. I was on the ground declaring that the territory was the Lord's. I knew that God had called us to those front lines to one day bring the voices and the stories to the world. And I want to encourage you that when there is a calling on your life, there's also provision. God protects, God provides. We were in the most dangerous territory. Bombs all around us. But God always protected us and allowed us to take the territory when the enemy said no. I'm challenging you right now. I'm challenging you to get out of the comfort zones that you're in. We all have them. I'm challenging you to go to your own front lines. Go to your front lines. And you know where the front lines begin? They begin on your knees. They begin on your knees saying, Lord, Lord God, do with me what you will. Do with me what you will. In a place of humility, in a place of humility, say, God, take over my life. I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever you will of me. And when you get on your knees, he'll take you high. You have to start low before you can soar. What does it mean to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in practicality? We always hear it in the church, but what does it mean in practicality? Who was Jesus? He was the defender of the weak. He fought for justice. The humanitarian fought for the oppressed. Are we ready to take on our calling in this day of darkness and be his light? To be his light in our own spheres of influence. As an attorney, though God had taken me to those front lines and put me there with the women soldiers and the girls that were in captivity, time and time again, I didn't realize that later on, he would take me all over the world in a miraculous way to be able to speak up for them. After meeting that young girl that I just shared about, the one who tried to attempt suicide twice, but then realized there was a reason that she failed those attempts. When I met that girl, I met her at a park. And she had just come out of captivity. And she had nothing to say. And I looked at her straight in the eyes and I said, you know, your story matters. Your story matters. And you have a voice. Like you, I went through something when I was your age. See, I was 13 years old, and I was also in a place where I was forced to move out of my homeland and into a foreign land. I also know what it's like to find someone that you love dead on the floor, because I had a traumatic experience where I walked into a room and found my grandmother dead. I said, I know what it's like to go through
these things, but I cannot compare my story to yours. But if it wasn't for my little story, I wouldn't be here today for you. My story mattered. Every piece of the details, every piece of our story matters. They matter. Our story matters. Even though we don't understand why and how. I was at a place when I lived in Egypt at 13 years old, forced out of my home, forced out of everything I loved, stripped away from everything I knew, where I didn't understand why God was doing it. But it wasn't until many years later that I was sitting in a park in front of that young girl where I had nothing to say, and the Holy Spirit said, "Now your story matters, and so does hers." So I told her my story, and that story prompted the light within her. That testimony of who the Holy Spirit was sunk inside of her. And she raised her hand, and she said, 16 years old, "Whether I live or whether I die, I will do everything I can to save my sisters out of captivity." After getting that on video, I came back to the United States of America, and I was asked to testify in the United States Congress. And I took that video as an exhibit, and it was televised across the United States and the world. Her story mattered. Our story mattered. Watching that video, I can tell you that the government officials at the U.S. House of Representatives were no longer just government officials at that moment. They felt the light of God that was permeating through the darkness. They saw the light that was within her, and they started to identify with her. They started to see her as a daughter, as a sister. And that was one of the very first hearings that led to a resolution by the Congress here in America that stood for justice and said that ISIS had committed a genocide against Christians, Yazidis, and other minorities. That then led to the troops bringing more support to fight this fight against ISIS, to provide more support for the refugees and the displaced, because one girl spoke up. It takes one person to speak up. It takes one person to hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And one will lead to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, until you have an army that is ready to stand against darkness. A year later, I saw the hand of God again when we responded to the prompting. I was in the United Kingdom, and that day that I arrived, I got a call. It was BBC. They said, "We heard that you testified in the United States Congress. And today, in about an hour, we're about to vote on the same thing. We also want to speak up for justice and truth. And we also want to vote to say that genocide has occurred. But can you help? Can you go on the news and just share your story and bring her video and share it as well?" That day, they voted. And the vote failed. Parliament said, "This is not for us. Our hands are off this. This is the House of Lords. This is for the judiciary. We don't want to vote on it." Sometimes in our lives, God tells us something. He prompts something within our spirit to do. But reality of the world says otherwise. I was prompted to go on that channel and speak. And I could have believed in defeat when the vote came out as no. Logically, that's it. It's done. I want to challenge you. When the devil tries to lie and bring circumstances around you to tell you, see, you were wrong. Maybe you didn't hear it right. Maybe it's impossible. Forget about it. That's actually the point where victory is coming. That's actually the point. That is the defining moment where you have to stand strong and push. That evening, after the defeat, I was sitting in a cafe in front of Trafalgar Square, and I heard a protest in front of me. And the Holy Spirit prompted me to go outside to see what the protest was about. And though I was comfortable in that cafe, I had the best window seat in front of the square, and I didn't really want to leave, the Holy Spirit said, go. I said, go. I said, Holy Spirit, please, the coffee's really good at the window. Leave me here. He's like, okay. You didn't hear me the first time? Let me get you out the second time. So the second time, he brings a friend of mine from California to London to come to the cafe. Just amazing how he gives us second chances. And she looks at me and she goes, get off your seat. She said, I've been sightseeing all day. You need to get off your seat. It's the only chair there. Get off your seat. Go walk around or something. Okay, Holy Spirit, now I really heard you. I'm so sorry that I didn't get off the first time. So I go outside. The protest could have been about anything. Guess what it was about? The refugee crisis and the women. And there was a woman who was a member of the EU Parliament who was standing on stage that day. And she was saying, can't you see? Can't you see? Don't just listen to what you hear on the news. These are not just numbers. These are faces. Have mercy. And my heart was just throbbing. It was that light. It was that light that's not me. It was that light that was the Holy Spirit. That light led me to run to connect with the woman. I go to the security guard and I ask him, sir, connect me to the woman. Here's my information. I've done some work on this in the past. And I leave. That night, I find out that that man was not a security guard. He was a prominent comedian and politician in the United Kingdom who got me on the most watched nightly television program in the United Kingdom to speak again for justice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even nations have second chances. Even nations have second chances. And the Holy Spirit said, now speak again about the genocide resolution. Ask them to vote again. And I did. Well, the man who had tried to lead it the first time, who was Holy Spirit filled, happened to turn on the television that night. And he connected with me and he said, if by a miracle we can have another hearing and another vote, this time in the other House of Parliament, where it really counts, would you come back and would you testify? My mother was in Syria at the time. This was all happening. I remember every detail matters. Every detail with the Lord matters. She's a Christian TV show host. And her program reached millions of people for years and years and years. Well, because of that, she had access in Syria to collect testimonies and to capture it on video footage. And she was going on her way out, not knowing what she was going to use the footage for. And she saw hundreds and hundreds of people at the border trying to get out. And everyone was getting their footage confiscated, their phones confiscated, their laptops confiscated. But with the Holy Spirit, you can overcome anything. And every detail matters. And your story matters. And your heritage matters. Well, someone heard her Egyptian accent and told her, go to that line. There's only three people in front of her on the other line. And she's on her way out with her hand in her heart, praying, Jesus, 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 protect this footage. Well, the man at the border recognized her and said, I came to Jesus because of Christian Arabic television. And he said, it's amazing. He said, I'm not going to look at anything. I'm going to stamp your passport. Now go and be blessed. Share with the world what's happened to our people. That is the Lord. When you hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit, He takes care of the rest. He takes care of the rest. You just have to act when He prompts. So now she's on her way out of Syria, and she gets messages from me. Do not get on the flight to Los Angeles. You're coming to the United Kingdom. Do you have the footage, and can you testify as a second witness? She said, I have it all. Amazing. So here we were, the night before the hearing, about to testify, and that Holy Spirit prompting had told me, very clearly He told me, bring that beautiful girl to come and testify. I asked the Lord that had led it, the House of Lords, they call them lords, they're like senators or members of Congress. I said, would you please allow her to come? He said, I am so sorry, it takes weeks to get her visa. There's just no way, forget it, just you and your mom. But again, when the Holy Spirit speaks and He prompts, it's that time when the devil says no, that yes is coming. When the devil says no, yes is coming. We just have to stand strong and carry the faith. So we prayed and prayed. At 10 p.m. at night, the night before the hearing, we get a call from the head of Homeland Security for the United Kingdom. And that call was, it's a miracle. The head of the Homeland Security office is waiving her visa. She can come, and can you get here tomorrow morning? Can you get her here tomorrow morning? The power. Who would have known? Sitting at a little cafe. Who would have known? Who would have known when I was in my law office and the Holy Spirit said, go to Iraq? Who would have known that it would lead to what I'm about to show you right now on video?
On March 22nd, 2016, the House of Lords rejected an amendment to have ISIS atrocities declared a genocide. To counter the decision, the Roads of Success team began a media campaign, making appearances on BBC, Channel 4 with Jon Snow.
Now, American lawyer Jacqueline Isaac has launched a campaign to get asylum for 100 Yazidi girls who were kidnapped by IS extremists in Syria. She's been pushing the US Congress for support and is now in Britain, where peers in the House of Lords are campaigning to have the persecution of Yazidis and other religious minorities in Iraq and Syria declared a genocide. We'll be talking with her in a moment. But first, this report from Jane Deeth, and a warning some viewers may find some of the details disturbing.
Jacqueline Isaac in Iraq with people from the Yazidi minority. She works with girls abducted by Islamic State, given as gifts to fighters or traded between them.
And The Guardian also featured their story. Lord David Alton and MP Fiona Bruce asked the Roads of Success team to testify and provide fresh evidence to support another genocide vote. This time, the vote would take place in the House of Commons.
We now come to the backbench debate on the recognition of genocide by Daesh against Yazidis, Christians, and other ethnic religious minorities.
Yesterday evening, here in the UK Parliament, we heard the truly harrowing personal testimony of a brave 16-year-old Yazidi girl called Atlas. We also heard from another woman, Yvette, who'd come directly from Syria for last night's meeting and spoke of Christians being killed and tortured. Let us come together and call this what it is, a genocide.
Before Ekla spoke, She was introduced by a human rights lawyer, Jacqueline Isaac. Jacqueline spoke of the shock of the fear of the knock on the door by fighters from Daesh, which would lead to people being characterised into different groups, with murder, rape and being taken hostage commonplace. We must help her and those like her who have suffered from the genocide that has taken place.
The eyes to the right, 278. The nose to the left, zero.
The eyes have it. The eyes have it. Unlock.
That is the God we serve. The God we serve. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your justice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for intervening in our lives. Thank you, Father. A miracle. We are living in the days of miracles. It's not just in the Old Testament. You eat that 2,000 years ago. It's now. We live with a miracle-working God. We live with a miracle-working Christ inside of our hearts. And that is the light that permeates and radiates and breaks through the lies and breaks through the darkness. At NBC interview, they could have focused on the darkness. But what did they keep saying? They kept on speaking of the light. Why? Because we carried it through Christ. When you carry the light through Christ, you hear the prompting, you take the step of faith, you respond to the call to action, you change the environment under your feet, you change the sphere of influence that you're in. It's not you doing it, it's the Holy Spirit. But you give him permission. You know that God needs us to work too? He calls us, but he says, okay, I need you to say yes. I need you to act. We were on that mountain that you just saw. And to get onto that mountain was almost impossible. There were ISIS traps all over on the way up. And I had gone with a group. And no one wanted to go to the mountain. And the Holy Spirit very, very clearly said, go. The night before I decided to go on the mountain, I was just going with the paramedic. It was just going to be me and an ambulance driver. That night, a former CIA agent contacted me. The lies, right? The lies of the enemy. He said, are you crazy? You'll be killed by tomorrow. I'll never forget that. Don't go. Go later. Go later when we can clean up the traps. Don't go. I had a decision to make. My mom had a decision to make. We prayed. She said, Jackie, go. Go. That night, I was in the lobby of the hotel waiting to meet the ambulance driver. But God had another plan because I said yes. It wasn't just going to be a small little car. God had a whole other plan. He's the God of resources, the God of provision, right? Well, months before, I had heard that in Iraq, in Kurdistan, they were developing a new constitution. And God had told me earlier that we were going to be able to somehow get involved and focus on the rights of Christians and how they would be protected. But the government friends of mine said, there's no way you can meet the top people of the parliament. It's impossible. And if you do, all odds are against you. I mean, you're a woman, you're a Christian, and you're an American. Forget about it. You're not getting involved. Okay, God. Well, I was praying into it for months, and now I'm sitting in the lobby of a hotel getting ready to take this mission on to Sinjar Mountain
where they say I'm going to die, but I know the Holy Spirit says you're going to live and thrive and show light. And I'm in that lobby, and the ambulance driver says to me, you know who's here and who's staying at the hotel? I said, who? He said, the Speaker of the Parliament and his entire team. They're taking on a trip on the Sinjar Mountain tomorrow morning, too. Not by might. Not by my might or power, but by his. So I meet the Speaker. He looks at me and he goes, you're going to the Sinjar Mountain tomorrow? I said, yeah. He goes, with this little car in the sky? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, no, you're not. You're coming with me in my vehicles with our protection. And here we were, from a former CIA member saying, don't go, you're going to die, to a whole parliament, a whole army behind me, saying we're going hand in hand. And we went to the mountain, and we saw the needs, and we brought these stories back, and you saw the results. And by the way, we were able to go into the parliament and discuss that constitution and focus on the rights of Christians for the future of Iraq. The favor of God. I'm telling you these stories to encourage you and edify your spirit. I am telling you these stories because I was led by the Holy Spirit to challenge you today to respond to his call to action. It could be a small idea in your mind that the Holy Spirit planted. We had an idea when we met those girls the first time. Our idea was, how can we empower them and show the light of God continuously? And God gave us three words: tech over trauma. Technology over trauma. Technology is used so much in the world. How can we use technology to help these girls mobilize? And now we have a program weekly for the girls in Iraq, Germany, and now we're going into Egypt and into Syria. And girls like Ikhlas are being empowered and having a voice, and even being, they're now even able to speak in the English language, all because of an idea. I want to show you that video for Tech Over Trauma.
أنا مبسوطة كتير على هذا الكمبيوتر ونشكركم كلياتكم على هذا الهدية. هدية كتير حلوة ما رح أنساها.
ليه مبسوطة؟
لأنه رح أتعلم شغلات ورح أشوفكم يوميا. على مدهتي أنا كتير مبسوطة.
عايزة تتعلمي إيه؟
عايزة بيوم الأيام أصير محامية.
Oh, I am very very thankful for teachers because let me do with you.
إن شاء الله يستمر هذا المشروع ويستفادوا منه الشباب ويتحولوا من الحالات النفسية الحادة إلى ناس طبيعيين مثمرين في المجتمع ويكون لهم مستقبل جيد في كردستان.
I think this will help the all the girls to be in contact with their friends. Will help them also to ventilate, will grow their skills, and will strengthen their personality and be more confident.
نفسك تبي
ما
لما تصير محامية
هتبي أحلى محامية في الدنيا
شكرا
وهتدافع عن كل البنات اليزيديين إن شاء الله
إن شاء الله
Providing the arts workshops, getting musicians and writers from the United States to connect with the girls so that they can have an opportunity to learn these techniques so that they can express themselves. All of these are tools for them to release what they went through. It's a way of healing.
عندما كلمنا معاكم هم تغيرت يعني اكو بنات يعني صار عندهم أمل يعني راح يتعلموا إنجليزي.
أنتم متى سمع ضوي طريقنا للمستقبل؟
By March 2016, some of them were enrolled in Rosetta Stone. Some were enrolled in Liberty University Online Academy, and they are progressing very well.
We measure the improvement of our girls through an online tracking education program. Through the internet, we're able to see them excel in their language skills. And through the psychological counseling program, what makes this program unique is that the founders and the teachers are American of Middle Eastern descent. They understand the culture, they understand the language, and we have access to bring their voices to the world.
God. It all starts with an idea that the Holy Spirit prompts in you, and then He brings the people to partner alongside of you. Other people who are Spirit-led. We have a woman right now watching online named Miss Carly. Miss Carly is one of the teachers who's teaching the girls. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, I'm ready. And that song you hear, I Have a Dream, the Holy Spirit led her to teach the girls that song, I Have a Dream. And their dreams will come to pass because the light of God has been carried over by those that said yes, and now it's inside of them to share it with the entire world. I now would like my mother to share a little bit about what she just saw on the resilience of the Christian people in Syria. You know, UNESCO said that Syria, in Aleppo specifically, it's one of the most dangerous places in the entire world. And God allowed her to be prompted to go to Syria and to go to that part of the world and to bring back the light, the stories of light. To shift, to transform the lies of the enemy and to change that darkness and bring it to light. So if we can all give her an applause, Yvette Isaac, my hero. I want to share something with you. When I was born, I told you I was born and raised in America, born in California, living great life, you know, teenage girl, 13 years old. My mother and father had an idea. Holy Spirit led, but I wasn't happy with it because I was a little girl, kind of rebellious teenage girl. And they said, we're moving to Egypt. I was like, excuse me? We are moving to Egypt. The Holy Spirit said, go. Like, well, Mom, I'm a freshman in high school and I really like my friends. Do we really have to? But they listened to the Holy Spirit and they took us as a family to Egypt. And if it wasn't for that time in Egypt, I wouldn't have been able to see with his eyes and hear with his ears what he wanted me to see and implant in me at a stage where I was still forming. Formative years, 13, 14, 15. And if it wasn't for that time, I wouldn't have gotten a beautiful prophetic word by a woman named Mary Copeland when I was miserable in Egypt. Miserable. I wanted out as soon as possible. I actually made a deal with them on how I can leave. I had an exit plan. But what happened was God brought a woman who didn't know anything about me. When I was 13, she came to me at a group conference called Women's Aglow. You know Women's Aglow? By the way, she made me go to that meeting. I was just dragging. She's like, come on, let's go. Mom, please, I don't want to go. But God had a different plan.
So the woman came to me and she said, can't you see why you're here? Not knowing anything about me. She said, can't you see that you are here to see with his eyes, hear with his ears, and become that bridge, to be like an ambassador, to carry his hands and his feet, be his hands and his feet. And what God's going to do with you is he's going to take you all over the world, but you're fighting for the Middle East, and you're fighting for his people, and you're going to help bring them out of oppression, and you're going to give them a platform to speak. And God will put you in front of kings and queens and princes and princesses, and you will not know how, and you will not know what to say or how to speak, but when you do and they listen, you will know that it's not you, but it's God who's gone before you. And since then, we have been in front of kings and queens and all of the prophetic word that came to pass, even in front of the top Sunni Muslim leader of the world. All odds were against us to even have that meeting. But with the Holy Spirit, nothing's impossible. And now I would love to share, to have her share with you today, how God supernaturally gave her that access into parts of Syria where no one can go.
Thank you, Jackie. Actually, before I want to start to say, thank God for the prophetic voices. If it wasn't for the prophetic voice in our lives, we wouldn't be able to do anything. Look at us. We're Egyptians. We have an accent. We have children that they were brought in America, and we have to raise them up between the Egyptian culture and the American culture, and the confusion, boyfriend, girlfriend, this and that. And God will say, go back to Egypt. They didn't want to go back to Egypt. We were at the vineyard, and a man came by us and came back. And he said, and she was with me, her and her brother, that they didn't want to go to Egypt. And he said, the Lord says, go. She got so scared. And she said, Mom, okay, Mom, I'll go. Okay, Mom, I'll go. So the Lord will confirm his word. And if it wasn't for the prophetic word, I wouldn't be that bold. Stacy Campbell spoke to our life. Stacy Campbell, she's been praying for us. Cindy Jacobs, she spoke lots of things that it took place in Jackie's life. And that gave me the boldness. And it made me like a lioness. I feel I am a lioness. And each and every one of you, you're called to be a lioness. We're bold. We heard yesterday from Lisa the boldness. Even to go in the most dangerous places, if God says so, I'll go. You see how small I am? I'm not like Jackie. Her father is tall. And there was a bomb, and we heard the bomb, and I was carried by a tall, big man. And when he was carrying me, I started to laugh and giggle, as if I was in a bubble. And I said, devil, I'm coming out of here, and I'm going to be fine. So the Lord says, you go to Aleppo. I said, okay, Lord, I'll go to Aleppo. You will open the way. You will open the door. And the Lord says, when you go there, you're going to take footage, but you're going to take toys to the kids, treats to the kids, and you're going to take money to the families that they are about to lose their homes. So I said, okay, Lord, you will provide. The Lord provided for the last minute with everything. And then when I went there and I talked to the people before I went, and I told them, we need to buy toys for the kids. So they told me the kids needs food, the kids needs clothing, you know, and the toys are not important. I said, let me go back to the Lord and I'll get back to you. And the Lord said, toys, toys. Okay. And I said, please buy toys. They went all over Syria, there was not enough toys, so they had to buy toys from Lebanon and to take it across. And to make the long story short, when I went there, I saw the Sunday school teacher and I saw all the children. And she told me a story. She said, 15 days before you came, The kids came to me. The ones that they were born during the war, they did not see toys. But the ones that they were a little bit older, they lost their toys. So they came to me and they said, we need toys. We hear about it on the television. And the other one said, we lost it. And she said, when I was young, my dad was not rich. So I was not able to ask him for toy. But I went to my Heavenly Father. And I asked him, can you provide me this toy that I see on the television? And she named the toy. She said, after 1 month, the Lord gave it to me. So when the children came to me and they asked me, I said, why don't we go to our Heavenly Father? So they all stood up and they started to ask the Father. And she said, each and every one of you, ask for a specific thing, the thing that you really want. And each one asked for what they want. Some wants trains, some wants cars, everyone, some wants dolls. And when they bought all the toys, they put it in a bag, plastic bag, and they started to put the names of the children randomly. And when they received the toys and the treats, each one of them got what they asked God for. That is our Heavenly Father providing to the kids in Aleppo. The kids that the Lord, the whole world is talking about and they are forgotten. God cares for them. He sends them the toys that they ask for. Because He's the provider. He's the one who cares for each and everyone. And we went back after we left Aleppo. We heard that after 1 hour, when we left, ISIS came over and closed the road for 2 days. We would have been trapped. But even the timing, 1 hour can make a difference. And we went to Lebanon, and guess what I saw? We were going to have another service for the children. There were about 400 children. And I was shocked when I heard, who are those children? They are the children of those who are fighting. They are the children of ISIS, Jabhat al-Nusra, and the Free Army. That the borders were open, so the fathers will go and fight and throw bombs, kill Christians and kill others, and go back and have fun with the children and the wives. But the borders were closed. And now they have no money, they have nothing. But who's taking care of them? The churches. The churches, they come to church for food, but they get the spiritual food. And they all chanted Jesus, Yeshua, 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 Yeshua. This is the new generation for Yeshua. This is the new generation of ISIS family and all of the Islamists that they are against and killing the Christians. The children and the wives are for Yeshua. I asked the lady who was veiled, they are still veiled and everything. I said, what's your name? She said, I'm the daughter of the king. I'm the daughter of the king because of the churches there. The churches are doing an amazing job. But the churches are overwhelmed. Can you imagine, like, you have 300 members and now you have like 2,000-3,000 children that you have to take care of. So we need to pray and support the churches and support this part of the world. There are Christians who are standing there. That's where Christianity started. Christians were called Christians the first time in the Bible in the city of the Antioch. The Antioch was part of Syria. And I was there. Closest place to ISIS because ISIS took this area. But we have a responsibility. We have a calling. We are here to be His hand and to be His feet. Thank you for standing with the Egyptians who are really tortured and displaced. I have seen them. I came the day of the last explosion. And that was the Palm Sunday. And I saw the faith of the people. And it shook the world. It shook the Muslim world. Let me tell you what happened, and you will see it on our website. One of the families that they lost their husband, and the husband was the guard on St. Marcus Church. This guard was killed. So they went to interview the wives and the sons. And the wife started to say, we forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. If they know that they've been deceived, they wouldn't do what they are doing. We're praying for them. And that was on secular TV, on mainstream TV. And the television anchor who was watching, he was shocked. He said, Christians are saying this? Christians are having this power to forgive? What kind of materials are they made out of? They are not like us. There is something different. There is something different about us. We are heavenly citizens. We are made of different substance. Substance of faith that Gloria Copeland was talking about. It comes out on the fire. And the world is talking about it. I received, last couple of days, I received a phone call from the president's office. And they said, please repeat, re-air that program. Because I think now Egypt wants to know who are the Christians and what are they made out of. This is our God, the God we serve. We are the body of Christ to stand together. And by the way, there are brochures in the back table outside. So if you want to know more.
Thank you so much. Our hero, she's my hero. She's my hero. We're not leaving here without the anointing of the calling, that prompting that's on our lives, that prompting that we hear about. When we see others go out in the fields, on the front lines, we hear about the prompting and how people responded. You heard it a little bit today. But now, I challenge you to respond to your Holy Spirit's prompting right now. That prompting on your life right now, this is the time to open your heart, to open up your spirit, and to say, God, I'm ready. God, I know that I was born for such a time as this. No more I can't. There's no more of that, because those are lies that we're going to kick out of our lives today. We're kicking it out. Let's all stand. Queen Esther. Queen Esther was a refugee. Do you know that? Queen Esther could have said, there's no way, I'm limited. But she didn't. She said, God, use me. And for such a time as this, she brought God's people out of oppression and preserved them. Now it's your time to say, Lord, how will you use me for such a time as this? I ask that we take a step further right now before we start praying. And we get on our knees. If we can all get on our knees. Let's come to that humble state. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your fire. Lord, we come on our knees before you right now, Lord God. We come in a humble state, Lord God, right now, Lord. And we tell you, use us, Lord. Use us. We are unworthy, but by your power and by your grace, we have been called. We have been chosen. We have been marked.
Lord Jesus, I ask you, Father, to touch every single woman and man listening online and here before us today, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Father, I ask you, Father, I ask you, Jesus, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take over their minds and their body and their spirit and their soul and every part of their being, Lord God. Lord God, get them, each and every one of them. Get me, Lord God, get us all to that place of surrender where we say no more to the enemy's lies. Thank you, Father, for taking them to the next step, Lord God, where you've called them to go. Lord, I ask you to heal all wounds, to heal all brokenness, to remove all the lies and the barriers of the enemy, Lord God, at this moment. Shift them, Lord, and transform them, Lord. Take them into the next place, Lord God, into that higher place of where you want them to go, Lord. Equip them with your armor, Lord. Give them dreams tonight as they sleep, Lord God. Bring out those seeds, Lord, that have been planted all these years, those whispers of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, those whispers prompting them on how to respond to your call. Holy Spirit, take over. Holy Spirit, take over. Less of us, more of you. Less of us, more of you. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of you, Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for believing the lies. Forgive us, Father, for remaining in the comfort zone of the world when we should step out, Lord, into the heavenly dimension of where you want us to go. Forgive us for not believing, Lord. Lord, anoint them with your light. Anoint them with your light, Lord. Anoint them, Lord, with such favor and wisdom. Bring out their calling, Lord, more than ever, Lord. May they never be the same after today, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bring out your power, Lord. Breathe your breath of life into their souls, Lord. Lord, you said in Romans that the creation is waiting in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, Lord. Lord, as your sons and daughters, we are here, Lord, and we're ready. We're ready, Lord, to be used, Lord. We're ready, Lord, to take on your mantle, Lord, of restoration. To bring restoration in such a dark world, Lord. Lord, I ask you to go into the darkest places of our own hearts, Lord God. Those places that we've been hiding from you, Lord God. These places that we've been just so hurt, Lord, that we've been unable to give them up to you, Lord. Lord, we give those places to you now, Lord. Dig deep, Lord, and take all the darkness, all the fears, all the lies away from us, Lord. And purify your breath of life on those areas. Holy Spirit. Breathe, Holy Spirit. women on the front lines, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It will never be the same, Lord, because we're saying yes to you, Lord. We're saying yes.
For more information about Patricia King Ministries, visit us online at patriciaking.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. patriciaking.com.